Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to the Currently Bossing Podcast, powered by the Boss Up Agency. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and I am so excited to be back for yet another podcast within our Art of Being Well season. It has been such an amazing time just like talking to different experts about money mindset, how to get your health right, and like just all of these things needed when you want to boss up and reach your full potential. You really have to work inward so that you can externally be able to do all of those things. So, super excited to be able to continue this series with you all. And I just want to say, you all are going to love today's podcast, like, absolutely love this episode. So today we're talking all about hormonal health and how it affects you internally and externally with Allie Egan, who is the founder and CEO of Veracity. If you're not familiar with Veracity, it's a functional medicine approach to beauty targeting the root cause, hormones, with clinically proven supplements and skincare and at-home testing for personalized care. Prior to founding Veracity, Allie was the CEO of Cynthia Riley and has extensive experience in the beauty industry through her time at some of Estée Lauder's best brands, including Origins, Clinique, and La Mer. She began her career in consumer investing at L. Catterton, and Allie is a certified hormonal health coach and board member of the Global Wellness Institute's Hormonal Initiative. She holds a BS in finance and foreign affairs from the University of Virginia and an MBA with high distinction from Harvard Business School. Allie, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you join us today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Brittany.
Of course, and I always love to paint the scene for our listeners. So if you could give us the download on your career journey and how it led you to Veracity, I'm super excited for you to share that with us.
Sure. I've taken a lot of twists and turns along the way, but somehow it seemed to make sense in the end. But still going and still evolving. But largely, I've loved spending my career building consumer brands in various ways, shapes, and forms. So I actually started on the complete opposite side of where I am now as an investor in consumer brands. I worked at a private equity fund called L. Catterton, investing across beauty, fashion, consumer health, consumer tech brands, some amazing things like Restoration Hardware and PF Chang's and brands that you probably would have heard of. And through that, through the investing lens, I really fell in love with the actual creation of building a business in a category or market that was, going to be the future of how consumers wanted to live and work and care for themselves. So that kind of sparked the idea in me that I really wanted to be an operator. And so at that point, I went to business school. I went to Harvard, and honestly, just tried to start working for every company that would let me while I was in school. So I spent some time with Glossier and like literally the earliest days of that brand. Some other, I worked with Alice and Olivia and Pure Barre, just again, just trying to really get as much exposure as I could. And when I graduated from business school, I went to work for Estée Lauder. I worked at three of their big global brands, La Mer, Clinique, and Origins. And then I got the opportunity to join Cynthia Riley as CEO, the women's fashion brand, and help bring that like beautiful, beloved brand sort of into the modern age. We launched direct to consumer, so our website and stores, and just really transform the brand from more kind of 90s cutesy to something that is modern and really encapsulates sort of Cynthia's design aesthetic in the modern world. So that was kind of the journey prior to Veracity.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I tend to feel like I am on my third life with how like everything's evolving and the different things that I'm kind of dabbling in. Do you feel like you're on like your second or third life now that you like have created Veracity, like in creating your own brand? Like, where do you feel like you are now?
I was actually thinking about this because we're in January right now, and there's all the time in, December, January for sort of reflection. And I'm sure you notice there's this trend of people saying what's out and what's in from last year to this year. And I was reflecting upon it, and I'm like, I don't really love that framework, because it's you can't even stuff that you don't like is part of one of your chapters. And so that's kind of how I've started to think about like my life and my career is like there's just different chapters, and you don't even need to change jobs to have a new chapter. Like I've been working on Veracity for almost 4 years now, from our sort of literally idea phase till creating, testing our building our tests and creating our products and then actually, selling things to people. And so I think even within Veracity, there's been three or four chapters. So I find that's what's exciting and be able to reflect upon that and what you're just learning and experiencing next.
And what actually was your, I guess, like aha moment? Like, this is something that I need to introduce to the world.
Yeah, so when I was at Cynthia Rally, I was in my dream job. Like I remember at business school, they make you sit down and write like where you want to be in like 5 or 10 years or whatever the time frame is. And they gave me this card later, but I had literally written, I want to be the CEO of a consumer, well-loved consumer brand in, fashion or beauty or something like that. I was like, well, literally, that's what I'm doing. Why would I want to leave that? But I went through sort of a health journey that I later learned so many people have some version of this for themselves, and it just really gave me the conviction, passion around building Veracity, and honestly, saw the business opportunity as well. Well, longest possible story short. When I was in business school, I started breaking out into eczema on my face. I had never even had dry skin before, and here I am, like scaly, ugly, crazy. And I saw a dermatologist, and they assured me that it was nothing to worry about. It was just something irritating my skin, and stop using some products, and it would go away. I went through this journey for years where it would go away, but then it would come back. And, I would just, I went, eventually was like, I guess I just must be stressed, right? And sort of blamed it on myself and my stress. But it was in the background. Then, going through my life and career, finally got to that place where, I felt like, okay, I've been with my husband for quite a while at that time, and, finally kind of at least started to meet the bare minimum of personal goals I wanted and said, I guess it's time to start our family. And so we started trying, and unfortunately ended up going through infertility. Through that experience, I found myself in a IVF clinic getting my hormones tested as sort of the first part of a workup that they do. And this is when I was diagnosed with a hormonal disorder called Hashimoto's. It's a thyroid condition, and I hadn't even heard of a thyroid yet. Thyroid issues affect half of all women at some point in their life. And this Hashimoto's ended up being the root cause of both my infertility and my eczema. But even then, I was just given a pill and started on IVF, and we went through 2 more years of infertility. Miscarriages, failed IVFs, like really the whole nine yards. And it wasn't until I sought additional care and found a functional medicine doctor that actually helped treat the root cause in balancing my hormones that, now I'm extremely blessed to say, like, I have 2 children. I've never had eczema again, and I'm subclinical on my Hashimoto's, meaning I don't take medicine for it, and I test in normal levels. And so the idea behind Veracity was really, how do you bring a functional medicine approach, a root cause-based approach, to the way that people take care of themselves every day? Because my feeling was like everything in, especially the United States, but everything is like, it's all around diseases. So women especially, but women and men only find out about these things and when like there's a huge problem. They're going through infertility, they're having such severe menopausal or PCOS symptoms that they can't get out of bed, right? And I'm reflecting upon my experience, and so much of what the medical research shows are a lot of symptoms of these hormonal imbalances. So like, these things are showing up like in the way that we take care of ourselves, right? They're showing up on our face and our hair and our weight and our mood and you know, just sort of our energy levels. And so I wanted to say, like, my solution is like, get people better results for the things they're trying to figure out today, but then also help them use that to be healthier overall, or have a vocabulary to ask the right questions of their doctors. And that's really what I think is, you know, super powerful about what we're building at Veracity.
I resonate with so much of that. And I love the just like the overall purpose behind the brand. I think that we go to all of these routine appointments and we might have something where, for me personally, it's like I've been dealing with hair thinning for like the past 3 years since early pandemic. And I've seen dermatologists and it's like, oh, you have this, take spironolactone, or oh, you have this, like take this, like very quick to prescribe me to some type of medication. And oftentimes, like not asking me what my goals are. So, learning now that I am with another dermatologist that spironolactone can actually affect me trying to conceive in this moment with my husband is crazy, right? Because those are the questions that should come up when you're having these routine appointments. And for me, I last year I was like, I need to learn more about what's going on internally because everyone has different ways where it shows up externally, right? Like for me, it's hair. For you, it was skin. And when I took you all's hormone test, like that gave me so much insight that I didn't even know existed. And it really helped me understand and really break down, like, okay, you should do this in this area. Maybe you should eat more of this. Maybe you should focus on low impact workouts. Like, it gave me tangible things that I could actively do in my daily life to move forward.
No, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, I'm sorry that you had to go, that you've also gone through the experience, but since starting Veracity, it's like the number, almost everyone I talk to has some version of that. And what I think is such a problem is, you know, it's wonderful that we have these solutions like drugs, basically, right? Whether it's spironolactone or Ozempic or whatever, right? Like they exist for a reason, but like we're so just given them out like candy and not told about the trade-offs or alternatives, right? Like, you know, I'm a big believer in like, well, before you start with this nuclear option, couldn't you do something through, you know, supplementation, diet, exercise, lifestyle changes that is addressing it for the long term without sort of putting these toxins in your body? And you may be at a certain place in time where the drug option is the best option for you, but like you should at least know, right, what the trade-offs are.
Exactly. And I think that when it comes to you all's products, like it's great that you all kind of like give products that address different parts of what you might be going through. So can you talk a little bit more about how you all formulated the hormone test? I was just so intrigued with even like the back end and like the dashboard and all the insights. So I would love for you to explain that a little bit more for our listeners and what they can get out of that.
So when I first started the concept of Veracity, I really wanted to give people the insight into them specifically, right? Because it's not about this just what's trending in wellness. It's like what's actually happening in my body. And I also think even like mentally, because a lot of these issues that we're suffering from, whether it's eczema or hair loss, they really do weigh on your mental health. And I actually think there's such an unlock in being able to understand like, it's not me as a person. I'm not like innately ugly or I don't have these as like characteristics about myself, but rather it's like here's sort of the biological chemistry of what's happening to me objectively, but I can change it. And getting clear, kind of easy to understand things that can help sort of change that biological chemistry, I think is really empowering personally. So we wanted with our tests, we wanted to create a easy simple diagnostic that kind of give you a really good overview of your overall hormonal health. So when we were, you know, in our beta phase doing all our testing, we tested a bunch of different formats of how we would collect the sample, bunch of different hormones that we would test, and worked with our medical team. So we have a medical team of six advisors across all basically medical areas that relate to what we're doing. So endocrinology, reproductive endocrinology, OBGYN, dermatology, functional medicine, and nutrition, and rely on their clinical expertise to help us, create the panel that we use with our hormone test. So again, we just try to make it sort of simple, easy. Think of it as like your introduction to functional medicine. You spit in a tube at home. It's, affordable, versus, functional medicine doctors can cost hundreds of dollars for even one appointment, plus all the, they do very extensive blood work, which can be useful to some people, but, not everyone needs that sort of much in depth, or at least as a starting point. So you spit in a tube and you mail it back, and then you get your five key hormones that have the biggest impact on your aesthetic and a big impact on sort of your overall health and balance. That's estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol, and DHEA. You meet for free with one of our integrative nutritionists. That can help you really sort of understand, walk you through it, because we give a ton of content and sort of education on what those hormones mean, but we know it's so new to people, so that's something we actually added, that I think just really helps sort of crystallize it for people and get the clarity they need, to feel, excited about making the investment in their self and their hormonal health. But really, then you walk away and you understand, okay, here are the major imbalances in my body, and here are some sort of easy, actionable tips that can help me start to get from, where I am to a more balanced state. So, specific things you can add to your diet, how you can think about your exercise routine, stress management tips, specific ways you can get better sleep. Things like that really treat sort of the whole health perspective.
Can I just say the complimentary chat with the nutritionist was super helpful for me. She gave me a lot of tangible takeaways as well, like make sure you eat the rainbow, make sure you get sunlight. I was in a bad habit of drinking coffee in the morning before I had water. And she was like, you have to drink water to flush all your digestive system and the toxins before you drink anything else. And it's like small, simple things that you feel like, oh, like, why didn't I think of that? But like when you're hearing someone certified to reiterate some of those points, it's like, okay, like I actually need to be doing this if I want to see the results that I would like to see.
Yeah, and I love that it's not these things where it feels so restrictive or so imposing on your life, right? Like even something as simple for certain people on like making sure you try to get like walk outside within the first hour or two of waking has a huge impact on your hormonal system. And that can be like as simple as like literally going out, to walk your dog or just stepping outside for 5 minutes that you can incorporate in your day that make a big difference in your health.
Yes, so true. Even though right now it's cold in Boston and I'm like, I don't want to go out there. My dog begs to differ, so I have to go out there anyway. But how often would you say someone should take this test? So I know for me, I think I took it about 6 months ago. Should I take it every 6 months or every year?
I think 6 months is a good time. It depends on sort of how you're feeling and what's going on in your life. But one thing we like to advise is, obviously we do recommend, supplements for people to take that can help, actually target those imbalances. And it's really good to sort of check on like, how is it working objectively, right? Like, you want to use your natural barometer of like just how am I feeling, like how am I looking, right? Like there's not everything needs to be super analyzed. However, like it is good to say like are my hormones in a better place? And it's really cool, like now that we've been doing this for a while, 86% of people who have taken our tests more than once have actually objectively improved their hormonal balance. So when they take the test a second time, their hormone levels improve. So it's something I'm really proud of. Yeah, so I think it's great, like if you're, either not sure to test every 4 or 6 months, if you kind of know you're like, hey, I'm actually tip top shape, maybe every year is a okay cadence for you. But I think it is important to sort of not just be a one and done, because hormones and, you evolve, obviously. Stresses change in your life, the way you live your life changes, and it's going to change the way your hormones are signaling to your body how to react.
Yeah, I feel like I was in kind of like the best mental and physical state when I was taking you all's BioEvolve probiotics. I strive to be a morning person. I typically wake up, but 6 to 7 a.m., which is still kind of early, but not as early as I would like to. And when I was actively taking that, I was waking up at 5 a.m. like it was nobody's business. It was like my body felt so regular, and I even had like so much energy the more consistent I was in taking it. And so it definitely is a testament to how much intention and care you all put into your products. Are there any other, I know you have your skincare and then you have the supplements, but can you talk a little bit about the different collections that you have to offer?
Yeah, I want to talk about the supplements first, because I think like this world is confusing to a lot of people, but all of our supplements are medical grade, meaning like they are the same. We use a manufacturer and then the same quality standards and testing standards as what like a functional medicine doctor would pr literally prescribe to their patients. And that's really different, because I'm sure you see get a lot of Instagram ads for, every either probiotic or gummy vitamin under the sun. And it is important to understand like what is actually in them. Is it tested? And then it are the percentages of the actives at the levels they need to be to actually be effective. Because you could have, I'm just making something up, but you can have ashwagandha, but if you have, 1 milligram in a gummy vitamin, your body is like absorbing such a small percentage of that, then it's not going to have the efficacy that has been studied to get you the results that you want. We definitely invest a lot in making sure that those are thought correctly formulated and really backed in a ton of research and clinical validity. And similarly, like on our topical side, so the skincare side, it's like the whole idea is like you deserve to get results while you're working on the lifestyle changes that make the difference in the long term. And so all of our products on the topical side are also clinically backed and tested. To get, to clear up your acne or to help with your dry eczema skin, for example. But they're also endocrine disruptor free. So, I mean, truly toxin free. So, nothing you're going to be doing from a topical perspective is going to be messing up, the investment that you're making in your overall hormonal health, which so much of it does. Like, and I could go on a rant on this, but 98% of the US population has measurable levels of hormone disruptors in their body. And these do things that we notice and a lot of things that we don't notice. And they come from our exposure to plastics and parabens and phthalates and fragrances and all these things that are in our personal care products that sort of make the problems and the symptoms worse. So you will not necessarily be able to identify it of like, oh, I use this moisturizer and it's, getting me out of balance. But over a few months, you really do like you can start to feel the benefits of using products that are not sort of like adding to your overall toxic load. And because what your body has to do when it's facing these toxins is eliminate them, and that's it requires energy, and energy that it can't be using for things like producing its own collagen or repairing scars or things like that. And so that's, we want to everything we do brings this functional medicine approach of first step in functional medicine is always a limit, like detox, right? Like make sure I have none of the bad stuff in. And then the second step of functional medicine is making sure you put like have the right things in. So that's kind of how we think about formulating everything across supplements and topical solutions.
It's interesting you say that because when we think about maybe some noticeable things that might happen when you do have a hormonal imbalance, like for me, it probably is my hair thinning. For you, skin. What are some other I guess red flags that could come up if you do or if you might be suffering hormonal imbalance but not know? Like how does it show up in your
Oh my
body?
goodness. Yeah, there's so many. So, obviously we just talked about two. Breakouts is a big one. I would say PMS type symptoms, pain, whether it's cramping or severe bloating in certain times, like sort of digestion issues. Weight gain, sort of unexplained weight gain or inability to lose weight despite, doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, like, watching what you eat and exercising. General, like, energy levels and fatigue when you feel like, you feel yourself reaching for that 2 o'clock cup of coffee, like that, that is a, your hormonal balance is not working properly. It's because your circadian rhythm and hormonal balance is off, right? So it can be things that, especially as women, we push it under the rug of saying, this is just a part of, my monthly cycle, or I just need to deal with it, right? A lot of people also get headaches. So, and you can check out our website. We have a ton of content that helps you can kind of understand some of the overall symptoms. But I would say, like, yeah, you're not going to necessarily feel a 10 out of 10 every day, but you need to start to observe these sort of subtle imbalances about yourself, because they often are a sign of a bigger of an imbalance that can be fixed, but of a hormonal imbalance.
It's so true because I feel like when we're around like menstruation, we kind of normalize like the bloating and all of those things. But understanding that it can be affected by our hormonal imbalance is definitely something to be more aware of what's happening inside of our bodies. Do you feel that it's possible to achieve balance hormones? Like given that, we're being kind of attacked from like external angles, and then what we're kind of doing to our bodies internally, like, is that achievable?
The word balance is so hard because and hormones are supposed to change, right? And they're going to change for things that are in our control, but a lot of things that aren't are out of our control. So I think, it's sort of like, not to go on a tangent, but it's sort of like how people think about happiness. Like happiness is not a perpetual state, nor is hormonal balance, but you can have more times of hormonal balance than imbalance if you think about that. So our goal is like let's have more of the balance state, or as close to balance state as possible, and less of the imbalance state. And so it's just about sort of filling the cup and training your body to deal with the external stresses that you can't control, that can help sort of get that more sustained balance over time.
And what would you say are some things we could do to kind of help us respond to stress in our bodies in a healthy or a more healthier way?
Yeah, as you know, there are a lot of foods that like have been proven to help, that you can specifically, add to your diet that will, kind of give your body some ammunition to level set, if you would. It can be things like Brazil nuts or blueberries, or obviously a little bit depends on what's happening in your specific body, but I love sort of making sure you're incorporating the right nutrients, to support your body overall. And there's a lot of habits, right? Like sleep does amazing things for your body's ability to combat these toxins and stressors. I am a mom of two young children now, like 3 and a half and 2. So what we try to do with our, sleep tips is like, it's not always about like, oh, you need to get 8+ hours of sleep a night. Ideally, if you can, great. That's not realistic for a lot of people. So we try to give you tips on how you can get more restful sleep when you're sleeping, basically. And so that can be hacks like, setting your room temperature to 65 degrees, which sounds really cold, but it really does help your body get into a state of deep sleep, faster. Yeah, and then I would say more of like understanding how your body is reacting to things can help you sort of reorganize your day in different ways to make sure you're supporting the right levels of hormones, because cortisol, which is our stress hormone, is a good thing actually. Like you need cortisol to be alert in a meeting, to heal acne scars, things that we want to happen. It's just about having not, the right levels, not too much, and then at the right times of day.
I was definitely going to say, I feel like stress gets this bad rep because it's just seen as this bad thing that you don't want to have and you're trying to like get rid of it as soon as possible. But there are good stressors, right? Like what you just named. And I think it's important for us to be aware of those too.
Yeah, the other thing that we talk about a lot, or Astin and I personally try to incorporate, is again, you can't take out all the bad stuff, right? Like you're still gonna have work obligations, you're still gonna have things that you have to do in life that you don't want to do, and this notion of that you can, it makes you feel bad if you can't solve that for yourself, which like nobody can, or almost nobody can. And so another great tip for thinking about hormonal balance is how do you add in like the joy hormones, I call them, where it's dopamine and serotonin and these hits, oxytocin, these hits of sort of happiness that really help sort of balance the negative as well. And that's also about like just being a little bit reflective, like, understanding like if you have a social obligation, like, or social event, is that bringing you joy? Is it bringing you stress? And just trying to make sure you have those moments of things that really do bring you joy and solitude, and not everything is like stress on top of stress on top of stress.
Can you give us some tangible things on what we could do to kind of hit those happy hormones? Like, if we want to have that hit of dopamine, like, what is something that we could do?
Yeah.
Except.
Well, dopamine specifically is all about like sort of expectations, right? So, I think goal setting or reward setting for yourself is great for that. Things like physical contact actually make a big difference. We are like a social being, so making sure instead of you come home from work and you actually embrace your partner, it doesn't need to be like a sexual encounter, but like having that sort of human touch can be really helpful. And then just there's definitely personal like preferences. Like something I noticed in myself, like I'm a nerd and I love listening to podcasts like your podcast, but if I was always trying to take in, like always trying to fill. And one thing I realized, I was like, wow, I haven't been listening to music as much. And music really, for a lot of people, myself included, helps your mind make different connections, and has that sort of meditative space where you're not focusing on something and your mind can wander. I think that's, for me, is like huge, is having those moments where your mind can really like almost the state of waking dreaming. And so like now I'll make sure, like, instead of always listening to a podcast on the way home, I'll like listen to music for a few days, like things like that.
No, I love that. And I have to remind myself to listen to music too, because I'm like in this era where I'm like, I want to learn about this. And then I'm like sharing it with my
Right.
family, husband, like, did you know we're supposed to eat this amount of protein a day? And everyone, it's like, okay. But yeah, making sure that I have that balance of listening to music and doing other things that ignite my sensory too. Is definitely important for me. So everyone's talking about cycle syncing these days, and
Yeah.
I've have tried it out for myself. I have a little struggle with being consistent with it and just understanding what to do specifically for my body during the different phases of my cycle. But can you talk about that for a little bit and just explain what it is, really?
Yeah, so cycle syncing in a nutshell is meant to say you do different, you eat different things, you exercise in different ways, and potentially organize your sort of to-do list in ways that sort of support the energy levels that your body has in excess. So in short, in your follicular is the begin, the beginning of your cycle, so days 1 to 14, you typically you have more energy, and so like cycle syncing will try to tell you this is when you should do harder workouts and different types of more moving big projects forward and things like that. There are also different like nuts and seeds that and again, you can check out the Veracity website that they'll, will guide you to at different points that support different levels of hormones. So whether it's progesterone in the second half of your cycle or the building of estrogen in the first half. So it's really to kind of correspond your, inputs to your body's what it's dealing with from a hormonal cycle perspective. So in theory, like it makes perfect sense and it sounds great. I think what goes wrong with it is that it puts too much pressure on you to remember all these different foods at which different times. And like you'll go on TikTok or Instagram and there's like 10 graphics and maybe there some of them have only two parts of your cycle, some have like four, and you're like you might be tracking your cycle, but like it's not like you wake up every day necessarily like thinking about like, oh, I'm day 10 and this is what I need to do. So everyone is different and everyone gets different benefits. So I think it's something, and our one of our medical advisors, Dr. Notman, talks about this, and it's sort of like use it to test. Do some of the things they advise make you personally feel better? If they do, great, incorporate them. If they don't worry about it. It doesn't mean that like you're doing it wrong. The way I personally like to think about it is just understanding like, generally when your body is in the second half of your cycle, especially in the latter half of the second half of your cycle. So like, right before and then obviously when your period starts is like your body is just has more things to do internally, right? It is like it has built up this like big lining and it is literally trying to push it out of your body. So maybe just like yourself a little bit of grace during those times. Like if you're feeling tired and you have time to take a little nap or something like that, just sort of understanding that your body is doing more work at a certain time. But overall for me, I think, and look, I had, when I was going through infertility, like I'd come off birth control and I wasn't getting a regular cycle. So like that wasn't even an option for me. So I think something important to say for a lot of women is like first step, first and foremost, before you stop trying to like cycle sync is like make sure you're properly nourishing your body. Because if you're not properly nourishing your body, like you can't even have a regular cycle. Yeah, just step one, I think, no matter where you are, if you can't have, can't be good at cycle syncing if you're either don't cycle or, you're having one time where it's a 20-day cycle and then it's 35 and then all these other things. So thinking about how you're nourishing your body first and then thinking about how do I make these smaller hacks.
Yeah, I definitely think for me, cycle syncing has helped me kind of take the pressure off myself in certain areas. I feel like towards the latter half of my cycle, I was even though I was about to menstruate, I'm like, okay, I still need to work out consistently. I still need to do this. And then I feel guilty when I'm not executing at the level that I want to execute because my body is feeling more fatigued wanting more rest. And so I think, like you said, giving yourself grace during those moments is really important. And thinking about cycle syncing, if I'm someone who was cycle syncing and then I conceive and now I'm pregnant, like, are there some different things that you can do throughout your trimesters to kind of like still keep you in sync, I guess is what I'm asking. I haven't seen much about that, but curious.
Yeah, well, you don't have the same, you're more like a crescendo of hormones. Like the biggest thing in the first, like, and why you're so tired in the first trimester is like your hormones go from like baseline to like sometimes 10x what they are, when you're not pregnant, particularly your HCG, which is the hormone that they test when you take a pregnancy test, and progesterone. So that is why it is such a like sort of steep cliff to climb that like your body is really using a lot of its energy to build those hormones, and it's also using extra thyroid hormone to send to, because the baby doesn't make its own thyroid hormone until after the first trimester. So I think first trimester, it's all about that's the grace period, right? Like your body, like even though you may feel it, you don't even look pregnant a lot most of the time. Like that is when your body is like working overtime. So that's like, make sure you're getting lots of great, amazing nutrients from greens and proteins. Make sure you're resting, just again, giving yourself sort of grace way. I'd say second trimester generally is when you still have these high level hormones, but your body is sort of leveled out and adjusting, like it's the new normal, if you would. And so that's the time. Think of that as more like the first half of your cycle where you can start to be more active and like, sort of feel like yourself again. And then the third trimester, like, that is just different for everyone because I would say like most importantly then is thinking about like building pelvic floor stability and health, because you're so much of your skeletal muscular system is put in pressure in a way that it hasn't before, both because of the weight of the actual baby, as well as you have a hormone called relaxin, which literally helps separate, like pull your pelvis, give more room in your pelvis. This is how you deliver, basically, like how you fit that baby through that small area. And something I've dealt with in my two pregnancies is like that expansion sets off so many other things that like then postpartum you end up dealing with for sometimes years afterwards. So really investing in your core, and it's not like hardcore exercises, but postural, pelvic tilts, those things you can look up. There's some good resources now, would be a great, sort of thing to think about. And then really postpartum is the opposite of the first trimester. You go in 2 days from having, the highest levels of estrogen you've ever had in your entire life to literally almost like having like menopausal levels of estrogen, like lower than your normal. And that's when a lot of women like feel, it obviously creates mental health issues too, but like you feel a lot of these symptoms. A lot of postpartum women suffer from things like night sweats, and hot flash type things. So really thinking about estrogen, balancing foods, and even, and I would obviously always talk to your physician about like supplementation, but thinking about what are the other, folate and things that can really help sort of build up those levels again.
This has been such a beyond informative conversation. I feel like there's so much out there and there's so much we need to learn about, like how we could regulate or balance our hormones or get them to the balanced state, like you said, and just so many things that we could do, especially as we're moving about our day to day. So I'm very glad that I had the opportunity to speak with you and just do like a deep dive into what you're doing and all of the amazing things at Veracity. I know that you all tend to have like these little challenges throughout the year. Do you all have like any challenges coming up or anything new coming down the pipeline we should know about?
Well, we always have something new. I'm trying to think of what we can share, but I would say follow us on social and email, and like we always have lots of really great content, and you can kind of stay up to the latest. But we're just really excited about continuing to bring, science back, drug-free alternatives to things that are really going to help with your sort of, beauty and overall health. So, just we put a lot of effort and time into those things. So, definitely follow us, and you can hear about the latest launches and all that good stuff.
I hope you all enjoyed that episode with Allie Egan of Veracity. I mean, I learned so much and I cannot wait to implement those practices into my health and wellness routine as someone who is now in their 30s and taking better care or just like looking inward a lot more than I used to and paying attention to what I am putting into my body and how I'm treating my body. It is definitely helpful to talk to experts like Allie just so I can better understand my body and get all those nuggets. So I hope you all really loved that episode. As always, if you did, if you're listening, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, share it with your girlfriends. I mean, do all of those things because when you do those things, that's how we're able to reach more listeners like you and really just grow the podcast. So thank you so much, as always, and be well.